Welcome to Scripture, Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is lecture number 46 in the book of Deuteronomy. And today we pick up our study in chapter 32, verse 15. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's just pick up our study right where we left off last time. And if you have a Bible, by all means, follow along, verse by verse. These studies will be much more rewarding to you if you look at the Word of God yourself. But if you can't, then listen carefully. The God of the Bible, the Lord God of the universe, in His Word, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15, says, "But Jeshurun," referring to Israel, "grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese." Then he forsook God who made him, and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. You know, when God gives us good things, they are to be enjoyed in moderation. Well, rebellious Israel went overboard and started living for the good life rather than the God who blessed them with it. 16. They provoked him. They provoked God to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. The so-called gods of the nations promoted all sorts of lewd behavior. And so they were a perfect fit for Israel, which abandoned God in order to live to please their appetites. It was a perfect fit. But God is still God, and He was angry with Israel. 17. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. The good ancestors of the rebellious Israelite generation never would have called the things that they worshipped gods or God. They would have known better. And they would have been right. Because these so-called gods that Israel turned to were not God at all. Actually, God says they were demons. This is something that is very important to remember. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Any worship of any other so-called deity is inspired by Satan. 18. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God who fathered you. They walked away from the God who made them. They would not have existed without God. How could they forget about Him? But they did. They were consumed with gratifying their sin nature to the point that they blotted God right out of their minds. Verse 19. And when the Lord saw it, He spurned them because of the provocation of His sons and his daughters. It's pretty bad when sons and daughters of such a good and holy God hurt him to the degree that he must turn away. That's pretty bad. But that is what happened with Israel. 20. And he said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith." God says they are a twisted generation of Israelites. He says, "I'm going to turn away and see what happens to them." 21. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. And that's not talking about one particular nation. It's talking about the Gentiles. It's talking about the peoples from every nation in the entire world that makes up the church. And ever since they rejected God's Son, God has turned to the Gentiles and has been offering them salvation through Jesus Christ. That is what this is referring to. Now, any Israelite who wants to, they can receive Christ as well. But the one true religion is no longer Judaism. The one true religion has been taken away from the Israelite nation and has been established in the church. That is what this verse is referring to. 22, for a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. The judgment against Israel for her refusal to repent, that judgment will be on them and on the land that God gave to them. Verse 23, I will heap disasters on them. I will spend my arrows on them. People shoot arrows at their target. You have a bow, you put an arrow in there, and you shoot it at your target. Well, God shoots catastrophes like arrows at His sinful target, rebellious Israel. 24. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents of the dust. Israel rebelled against God. He didn't like it. Now, to show that He is just and to show how rebellion feels to its target, God will cause nature to turn on Israel. Wild animals, which should be afraid of man, will attack man. Verse 25. The sword shall destroy outside. There shall be terror within. For the young man and virgin, the nursing child with the man of gray hairs. Israel will be given over to their rebellion, to the rebellion that they love so much, and the result will be widespread murder, widespread violence, and terror for all people of all ages in Israel. Israel will not be a safe place to live because the people turned their backs on Almighty God. We would not be spending nearly as much on law enforcement and all that is involved with that if the people of this country would not be so far away from God. Your taxes would be much lower if more people were saved and living for the Lord. Sin is very costly in many ways. 26. I would have said, I will dash them in pieces. I will make the memory of them to cease from among men. Boy, when you mess with God, you are messing with the one who can snuff out your life like a man blows out a match. And God says, Israel, I could have snuffed out your life and the memory of you. 27. Had I not feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is high, and it is not the Lord who has done all this. Israel is fortunate that God cares about His stature, even if they do not. Because God says, I didn't wipe you out because I knew your enemies would take credit for it, saying, look what we did. 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. In other words, Israel is stupid. I didn't say it, God did. Rebellious Israel is stupid. That rebellious generation is too stupid to know what's good for them, and too stupid to avoid what is obviously bad for them. And God gets no joy out of that. 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God wishes that they would have the sense to see the end result of their evil rebellion against Him. Man, if people could just see a preview of sin's consequences, maybe, just maybe, they might not sin quite as much. 10, or 30, I should say. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? Yeah, wars that Israel should win will be lost. Now, if they had any sense left in them, they would recognize that God was no longer on their side, or it wouldn't be that way. 31. For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. In other words, even Israel's enemies said that the God of Israel is the God who is God. So, if Israel is being defeated by her enemies, it must be a sign that Almighty God is angry with them. They had to pick up on that. 32. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of cobras. In other words, Israel's spiritual fruit is lousy, rotten tasting to God. They are no different than the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which God destroyed. 34. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? God says, I've got a storeroom full of something. 35. Vengeance is mine, and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. God's inventory of wrath is about to be poured out on impenitent Israel. God is the minister of justice. 36. For the Lord will judge His people and have compassion on His servants when He sees that their power is gone and there is no one remaining, bond or free. God must punish. He must punish His sinful people because He is just. He cannot overlook their sin. However, even in His wrath, there is compassion. He is not an unfeeling God. 37. He will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge? God will see them in their trouble. He will see Israel in their horrible suffering, and He will say, where are those gods now? Those gods that they left me for, where are they? 38. Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise and help you and be your refuge. God will say, Israel, you turned away from me and went after other gods. You worshiped them. You honored them. And now that you are in trouble, they are nowhere to be found. They do not help you at all. 39. Now see that I, even I, am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. God will say, Israel, do you see at last that I am the only God that there is? Are you going to wake up and realize that I'm the one who gives life and blessing to those who serve me and sorrow and death to those who turn from me? 40. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, God says, I take this oath, as sure as I live, verse 41, if I whet my glittering sword, and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies, and repay those who hate me. As sure as I live, says the Lord, I will get vengeance on those who hate me. God says, I pay people back, if they don't repent. 42, I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives from the heads of the leaders of the enemy. In other words, God says, my sword of justice is going to be caked with the dead flesh of those who hate me. 43, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. God is good. He avenges the death of his faithful ones. God pours out his wrath on evil ones. And finally, one day, he will cleanse the Holy Land, and his Old Testament people, Israel, will enjoy it as it was intended. Until next time, Mike Murat. So long, everyone.